you tonight shall return to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Now faith is the... For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Let us turn to the Old Testament, to the book of Genesis, chapter 6. Genesis, chapter 6. Genesis 6 and verse 1. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. This is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. And 17th verse, And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee, and of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee, they shall be male and female, and so on. Shall we turn to Matthew chapter 25, 4. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 35. Matthew 24 and verse 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came, and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. And one more portion in 2 Peter. 2 Peter. Second Peter chapter 2, verse 4, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after shall live ungodly, and deliver just lot vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. The third chapter. The third verse. Knowing this verse, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth, standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. May the Lord bless to us the reading of his word. Shall we look to the Lord in prayer? Our gracious God and Father, we desire to thank thee this evening for the privilege we have of coming into thy presence. We thank thee that thou hast promised that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. We thank thee the word of thy Son is sure and secure and eternal. And we thank thee for thy blessing and help in nights past, that which thou hast brought before us, but we come before thee tonight with special needs. We thank thee for each one that is here tonight. Pray thy blessing upon each one and each family that is represented. Remember those who are sick and could not be with us. We commend them to thee in a special way. But Lord, wilt thou give grace and help in speaking thy word? Wilt thou guide and direct by thy spirit? And wilt thou cause it to be blessed to each and every one that is here? If there are any amongst us who know not the Lord Jesus, that something will be said that thou would use to draw that one to the Savior before it's eternally too late. Lord, we just commit ourselves to thee, for without thee we can do nothing. And so we thank thee for our Lord Jesus, who has made it all possible, and who is, as we have been singing, the shepherd that loves to minister to his sheep and loves to draw the wanderer back to himself. And so we just commit ourselves to thee now for thy help and blessing in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Now last night, of course, we were looking at this man Enoch that was brought before us as a second example, you might say, of the example of faith, because in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, that's what we have brought before us, the examples of faith. We saw Abel, of course, as the one who brought the offering that made him acceptable to God. And then we saw Enoch, who followed afterward. And we were emphasizing the fact that Enoch was the one to whom was revealed the truth of the Lord's coming. The first preacher of the Lord's coming, as we have it brought before us in the book of Jude, that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, of the false teachers who would come into the realm of Christendom, and the false teachers that would be amongst the ungodly, and the Lord shall come executing judgment upon the ungodly because of all their ungodly ways, their ungodly words, and their ungodly works. And so we foretold, of course, the second coming of Christ, which as yet has not taken place, but he was the one who was the first predictor, the first prophet, you might say, that foretold the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he, of course, was taken before that event, because that event has not yet taken place. And so we have in Enoch, we have a type. One, he was an actual historical character who actually experienced being taken to heaven without dying. Nevertheless, he is an example. He is a type of the company that is going to be taken to heaven without dying. And we saw last night that that is the special hope of the believer. That is the hope that is associated with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so Enoch was taken to heaven before the judgment fell upon the earth, as it fell in the days of Noah. And so Enoch pictures for us believers of this present age, the church age, which began on the day of Pentecost and will continue not to the end of the world, not until after the tribulation, but it will take place before all these events take place. And as we note in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it can be at any moment. You know, the last words that we have from the Lord Jesus in the Bible, in the book of Revelation, the 22nd chapter, the last words, he says, "Behold, I come quickly. Behold, I come suddenly." And the response, of course, is, we cry, "Even so come, Lord Jesus." And that should be the expression and desire of each and every one, that the Lord may come at any moment. We have this man Noah. And Noah, of course, is also a picture related to the second coming of Christ. But not the second coming of Christ in the that is the hope of the church, but that of which Enoch spoke. And that's why I read to you from Matthew chapter 24, where we have his coming as foretold by Enoch. Here in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 35, the Lord Jesus is giving a prophetic pronouncement in the 24th and 25th chapters. He is bringing before us the future of Israel in regard to the coming of Christ, the future of believers in this age in regard to the coming of Christ, and the future of Gentile nations in reference to the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so here we have in this 24th chapter that the Lord is warning the Jewish believers, who were, of course, you might say, typical of those who will be, after the church has been taken to heaven, on earth, waiting for the Messiah. And I think that one of the characteristics that is very evident in these days is that there is an awakening amongst the Israeli people throughout the world. They are looking for the Messiah. They are waiting for the Messiah. Hundreds of thousands of Israelis are waiting for the Messiah. And so the Messiah that's going to come, they are warned. Now beware that you're not misled by false messiahs, because there are many who will come saying they are Messiah. Only recently in an issue of U.S. News and World Report, which I received, I read an article about aging prophets. And one of the aging prophets was an Israeli in New York, 92 years old, who was believed and accepted as the coming Messiah. All they wanted him to do was to go to the land of Israel from New York, and they would herald him as the Messiah. But just as he was about to leave, while he was felled with a disease, with an illness of pneumonia, he was rushed to the hospital. He was in that hospital for several months, and lo and behold, he passed away. And so their Messiah passed away, but some of them said, "Well, he'll rise from the dead." Others of them said, "Well, his spirit will enter into some other person, and this person will be the Messiah." But there are over 1 million Israelis scattered throughout the world who were heralding this 92-year-old man as the Messiah. And so there are coming those who will be false messiahs, and the Lord warned. Now, when they come saying, "I am Messiah," Don't accept them. Because when the Messiah comes, he's going to come in a special form. How is he going to come? Well, he tells us here in this 24th chapter of Matthew, the 35th verse, breaking in here. He says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But at that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now that's the coming of the Messiah, of course, the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not, until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. If we turn back a little bit for a moment, notice it says in the 29th verse, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. In other words, when the true Messiah comes, he's coming from heaven. He's coming in power and glory. He's coming to terminate a period of time that is similar to the days of Noah. In the days of Noah, they were eating and drinking. We're going to look at that in a few more minutes later on. But you see, he says, but that shall be that just like the coming of the Son of Man, then two shall be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, the other left. Now this is not the rapture. This is not the believer taken and the unsaved person left. He's speaking of the time of Noah. And in the flood, when the flood came, who was taken? Well, the people that were outside of the ark, they were taken. They were taken in judgment. Those who were inside the ark, they were the ones that were left. And just so, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes in His glory, the ones that shall be taken are those who are taken in judgment, and they shall be cut off. As we read last night from the book of Jude, when Enoch prophesied, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of His saints, and he shall execute judgment upon all that are ungodly among them, and they shall be cut off. And so the ones that are taken are the ones that are taken in judgment, just as they were in the time of the flood. In the time of the flood, those who were outside of the ark, they were taken in judgment. They perished. But those who were left were those who were in the ark. They were left to go through the flood and go into the new earth after the waters of the flood had abated. And so the result was that they entered into that sphere of the new earth. And so, just as Enoch typifies for us the believers of the church age who are going to be caught up to be with our Lord Jesus before the time of judgment, and the days of Noah picture for us those who will go through the tribulation period, those who will go through that period of judgment and trial, and which will be terminated by the coming of our Lord Jesus in glory, and then the wicked shall be cut off, they shall be taken, and the righteous will be left to enter into the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so I hope that we've got these two persons and what they typify prophetically clearly brought before us. Enoch typifying the believer of the church age, caught up to be with the Lord Jesus. Noah and his family typifying those who during the tribulation period are going to be preserved through that period of tribulation, and they are going to be delivered at the coming of the Lord Jesus in glory, when he will execute judgment, and the wicked will be taken in judgment, and the righteous will be left to enter into the kingdom of our Lord Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 11, which we have been looking at, we have noticed a consecutive order of personalities. We have had brought before us, first of all, Abel, the man who was made righteous with God, the man who brought the right offering and who was accepted to God. Abel picturing for us the worshiper who by means of the sacrifice is accepted to God. Then we had Enoch, the man who was converted at the birth of the child into his family when he received a special revelation that when this child dies, it shall come. And that's why he named him Methuselah. And that's what caused the change in his life. That at any moment, if that child was to die, why, the judgment of God would fall upon that earth because it was filled with such wickedness and such sin as we shall see. We'll see in a little while what were some of the things that characterized the days in which Noah lived and how similar they are to the day in which we live, which foretells us that the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ must be very near at hand and is coming for us just that much closer. So as Abel and Enoch typify for us the worshiper and the walker, because Enoch walked with God and he had one single aim. He pleased God. He pleased God. And as he pleased God, why, as he walked with God, a step-by-step process, walking in the same direction that God was walking in, walking with him step-by-step, and walking with God suggests progress. It suggests intimacy. It suggests growth. And so Enoch was one who experienced, and Enoch is the first one that is reported as walking with God. And so that, of course, should be the result. That if I have, by faith, accepted the sacrifice of Christ, just like Abel brought the sacrifice to God, then Enoch, converted, began to walk with God and to walk in God's ways and to walk in fellowship with God and sought to please God. Now here we have an advance. Abel, the worshiper, the offerer, Enoch, the walker with God. Here we have Noah. And Noah becomes the witness for God. Because it says here, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is of God by faith. And I want you to notice the order. It always has to be that order. In other words, I must first of all know the reality of acceptance with God through the sacrifice of Christ before I can begin to live for Him, before I can begin to walk for Him. And I must be walking in the right way if I want to be a witness for Him. Because you know, it's often been said, your actions speak so loud I can't hear what you're saying. If our lives are not what they should be, the result is that our witness will not be effectual. And so we find in this man Noah, we find a man who becomes a witness. And we'll see where he has his witness. By faith. And as we have mentioned, we always want to remember, faith is not just some feeling. Faith is not just some emotion. Faith is not necessarily a matter of feeling at all. Faith is founded upon and produced only one way, and that is by the Word of God. If I am not walking according to the Word of God, I am not walking by faith. As I obey the Word of God, that is faith. I do things because God says it. And as I do it because God says it, that is what faith is. And of course, we are all to be walking by faith, because we are all to be walking in obedience to and submission to the Word of God. Because we want to remember, my dear brethren and sisters, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. And the answer is, what shall I say concerning myself? When God says, what have you done with my word? How have you responded to my word? How have you obeyed my word? And it is very important that we should remember that faith is simply obeying what God says. And what is a better reply than to say, I do it because God's word says so. I confess Jesus because he says I should confess him. I'm baptized because he said I should be baptized. I gather to remember him week by week because that's what he said I should do. I love my brother and my sister because that's what he said I should do. And as we take step by step in our Christian life, as we do it because God says it. I'm speaking to young people here too. God says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And that means don't court an unsaved boy or an unsaved girl thinking that you're going to win that one for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's better to obey what God says, because if you do, why, he will give you his best. And if he gives you his best, you will be blessed. Now it says, by faith, Noah. By faith, Noah, well, I should have commented on the sixth verse, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If I do what he says, he will reward. He will give me his best. And so here he says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Seven things. By faith, Noah was warned of God. That word warned is a special word. It occurs 9 times in the New Testament. It brings before us that he had a direct word from God, just as Joseph had a direct word from God when he was told by the angel that he should take the child Jesus into Egypt because Herod would try to kill that child. And he was also told when he should take that child back and where he should take it, that he should take that child back to Galilee, not to Jerusalem, but to Galilee, and there in Nazareth to reside. So to be warned of God means that Noah had received a special message from God. We read that message in the 6th chapter of the book of Genesis. He was warned of God. What was he warned of God about? He was warned of God, secondly, of things not seen as yet. What was it that was not seen as yet? Well, you have it in the 17th verse of the 6th chapter. Behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth. A flood? In Noah's day? Why, there was no such thing as rain in Noah's day. If there was no such thing as rain in Noah's day, how could there be a flood? Why, it was scientifically impossible. Because in the 2nd chapter of Genesis, If you read the second chapter of Genesis, just turn for a moment to that second chapter of Genesis, and in that second chapter of Genesis, and notice what it says in the fifth verse, every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground, but there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. So you see, it was scientifically impossible that there could be anything like a flood because there was no such thing as rain. So how could there be a flood? Noah had proclaimed it, and he did proclaim, because you see, it tells us in the book of Peter that Noah was a preacher. He was a preacher of righteousness. And so Noah was preaching to the world, a flood is coming. It's going to destroy all humanity. It's going to destroy all creatures which are upon the earth. And people laugh. They say, it's impossible. Scientifically impossible. How could a flood come? Where would the water ever come from? Where would the water? Why, the earth is refreshed with a mist that rises every day and waters the earth. Scientifically impossible. And you know, men are always saying things that God says are scientifically impossible. The rapture, why, that's scientifically impossible. Christ coming, that's scientifically impossible. The Lord taking out of this world millions of people at one time. Now last night I was describing to you that it had to be an act of God. An act of one who is omnipresent, omnipotent, and omniscient because of all the events that are going to be involved at the coming of the Lord, when he raises the dead in Christ and he changes the living in a moment and he takes us to be with himself. Scientifically impossible. And my friends, that's why it says Noah was warned of God of things not seen as yet. Not seen as yet. Not that they were not going to be seen eventually, but they were not going to be seen just now until they actually took place. And so what was the result? Well, Noah was moved with fear. Now some people, of course, explain this fear as being an awesome reverence for God. And I believe, of course, that Noah had an awesome reverence for God. But I believe there was actually fear that moved him to do what he did. I know it was fear that drove me to the Lord Jesus Christ. I was afraid of being left if the Lord were to come. I was afraid of going to hell. There's nothing wrong with fear. You parents are not doing anything wrong when you tell your little child, before you cross the street, watch where you're going. Make sure nobody's coming. When you tell that child, don't touch that hot stove because you'll get burned and get hurt. Don't touch that electric current because you might get a shock and get killed. It's a good thing to instill fear. Fear is a wholesome thing if it's in the right way. Noah was moved with fear. My friends, it's a good thing to be moved with fear, because fear is a wholesome thing that God has put within us to safeguard us from dangers and death and situations that might be catastrophic to us. And so Noah was moved with fear. And the result was he prepared an ark. Why was God going to send the flood? Why was God going to send the flood? Because if you read the sixth chapter of Genesis, you know there were a number of reasons. First of all, might I suggest to you there were four reasons why God sent the flood? Why God was going to send the flood? And you know these four reasons are very typical of today. First of all, because of the sinful lives of the people. And that is brought before us in Genesis chapter 6 here, where it says here, let's just touch on a few things. The fifth verse, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now that's internal. Those are the internal thoughts. That's what people were thinking. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that's his life, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. As God looked at the earth, he saw the wickedness. What was that wickedness? Well, it tells us here in the 11th verse, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. The earth was filled, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, and all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. Their ways were corrupt. We don't have to look far to find corruption. All we have to do is look at the government. Look at the corruption amongst the leaders in government. Look at the way they waste the taxpayers' money. Look at the way they live. Look at the various characters that are up for examination because of their lives and because of Dan Rostenkowski and the way he's handled some finances and the way that fellow from Oregon is sexually harassed over 20 different women while he was senator from Oregon. Corrupt and violence. Is the earth filled with violence? Young people taking guns and killing one another. Young people taking guns and killing parents. People killing one another. O.J. Simpson and the case in California. Those two people were killed by somebody. I don't know who they were killed by, but they were killed by somebody. But the fact of the matter is, today, our president says we need 100,000 more policemen. Is that going to cut down on the violence? No, it's not going to cut down on the violence. Here we have brought before us one reason why judgment came was because of the sinful lives of the people. But there's something, another reason. I want you to turn for a moment to the book of Job. Job 22, verse 14 to 16. Job 22, verse 14 to 16. Notice what it tells us here in Job 22. Job 22, verse 15. Hast thou marked the old way which wicked men have trodden, which were cut down out of time, whose foundation was overflown with a flood? He's talking about a flood, which said unto God, depart from us. What can the Almighty do for us? Yet he filled their houses with good things, but the counsel of the wicked is far from me. What did they say? They said unto God, depart from us. What is America saying? To God, depart from us. Get out of our school system. Get out of our young people's lives. Get out of our government. There's a movement on today to take the very expression, in God we trust, off dollar bills. Remove every semblance of God. What can the Almighty do with us? Do away with God. Isn't that the tendency of the day today? That's what they did in Noah's day. We don't want God. Get away, Almighty. We don't want you. We don't believe in you. What else? Notice Matthew 24. I read to you from Matthew 24. And verse 37, 38, for as the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, merry marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Eating and drinking. Did you ever have a place? Did you ever have so many restaurants? Did you ever have so many eating places? Many people eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. Do you know what that means? That means marrying, divorcing, marrying again, marrying, divorcing, divorcing. Even Christians are looking upon divorce as just a complacent thing. But God tells us the lessening and the loosing of the marriage bond is the loosing of the family tie, which is the basis of society, and if marriage goes, so does society, and so does everything else. And so we see a loosening. That's what he's talking about when he says marrying and giving in marriage. He's talking about the loosening and carelessness and setting aside of the marriage tie which God has established, and giving them over just themselves over, satisfying the flesh. The wickedness of man, defying and doing away with God, loosening of the marriage tie. And I read to you from 1 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 3, that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And they didn't like that. They didn't like the preaching. They were turning against the preaching. For 120 years, Noah preached. For 120 years, Noah preached by speaking, and Noah preached by his works as he was building that ark. He was preaching by life and by lip, by works and by words. There was a double witness, and they rejected that preaching. For 120 years, Noah preached righteousness. How to live righteously. What God requires righteously. How God can make a preacher, a person righteous, or judgment is coming. Judgment is going to fall. And so he prepared that ark for 120 years. And Noah didn't win a convert. Is that right? No. That's not right. Noah won some converts. It says, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. I read in the beginning that Noah had three sons. Doesn't say anything about him having those three sons having wives. But by the time the ark was complete, those men had wives. Noah, by faith, was the means of saving his house. And might I say, that's where every one of our lives begins. That's where every one of our ministry begins. Our ministry begins with our house. Our ministry begins with our families. My first responsibility as a believer is to see that my family is brought into the knowledge of Christ. That is absolutely priority number one. That is why I believe it's so important that in our family lives, we have a family altar. That is, that we read the Word of God with our children. Amongst the Dutch people, they read the Bible at every meal. A young man raised up in that environment sometimes chafed under that environment. When he grew to be a young man and was put into the army or the navy, he was so thankful. He wrote to his parents, "I'm so thankful that you maintained that Bible teaching and that Bible reading day by day, even though I chafed under it, even though I didn't like it. Because now what I learned there has been my strength and my help to me when I have been in this place of responsibility and temptation and danger. I believe reading with our children and bringing them in contact with the Word of God, once a day at least, praying with our children, praying with them, seeing that they get under the sound of the Word of God as much as possible, seeing them saved is better than having them A students. Seeing them brought to the Lord and living for the Lord is more important than for them to obtain a job that gives them a big income and gives them priority. Noah built that ark for the saving of his house. And my brother, my sister, you're no failure if your house is saved. If your family is brought to the Lord, and if your family is going on for the Lord. On the other hand, if they're not, may it be my prayer that every one of my family will be brought to Him before it's too late. You know, we could go through the scriptures. Isn't that what Rahab wanted? When she was told that the city of Jericho was going to be destroyed, she wanted to be saved, but she said, I want my family saved. I want my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters. And the servant said, well, you put this cord outside, and everyone